The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. Glad to be with you here today. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. Toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here, and let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air once more today. Father, we just pray that you would just encourage and watch over us now. I pray that something that we talk about, something that we look at today in your word might be a help, might be a blessing to somebody, Lord. And there's somebody that's searching for Christ, that the things that we talk about might help them to see that the gospel is real, the Bible is reliable, and that Jesus Christ truly did die on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins, and that he was buried and rose again victorious over sin and death, just as the Bible says, and that they would be able to trust Christ as their Savior before it's everlastingly too late. Father, bless now, we pray. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we come on the air here today, I want to make mention, plan for next week. We've been kind of talking about this off and on, and my wife told me I was taking too much fun or having too much fun doing this, but if you're not aware of it, Friday, December the 21st, 1 week from today, is the coming Mayan apocalypse, and so we're going to be on the air, eyewitness to the Mayan apocalypse, and I hope you'll join us next week for that. I'm waiting to see if a super volcano comes up in the parking lot out here, or a typhoon blows in off from Lake Erie or something like that. But we're going to be talking about the Mayan apocalypse or lack thereof, and relating some of that to the Word of God next week. So do plan on joining us for that. Because of that, I moved up to this week something I was going to share with a little bit last week. I just followed this thing, 2 points I was going to get to here today, 2 things. And one of them, we're just a little a week away from Christmas time, Christmas holiday. And it just seems like every time of year we get around Christmas time, and the atheists and the ACLU and the liberals and all that might be kind of synonymous, but they seem to just come unglued over the celebration of Christmas. Now, I know that in history, there's a time when really, for the most part, Christians did not celebrate Christmas, and part of that was because the celebration of Christmas, in particular, if you look at our country in the 1700s, 1800s, much of the 1800s even, Christmas was more based on the pagan celebration of Saturnalia. It was a time of feasting and drunkenness and revelry and rabble-rousing and all that kind of stuff. In fact, in the colonies, especially the northern colonies, close your shop and to have parties and stuff on December 25th was actually illegal in some of the colonies. And one of the reasons that George Washington was able to cross the the Delaware River that one particular night and catch the British by surprise was because they had been celebrating a little bit too much, and a lot of them were passed out and had hangovers because of drinking and everything, because of their celebration of Christmas. But in the 1800s, the celebration of Christmas began to turn back, especially toward after the Civil War in the latter part of the 1800s, turn back to taking time to remember that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary and came into the world and began to focus more on that. Of course, along the same time, then also the concept of Santa Claus and all was introduced a little bit more, and I'm not going that direction right now, but the celebration of Christmas became more of a religious holiday rather than a time of drunken partying. And it became more acceptable among Christians, among churches, to acknowledge the Savior's birth. Now, obviously, if you know much about the scriptures, you realize that Jesus was not born on December 25th. The shepherds were out in the keeping their flocks by night in the fields or in the hills, and they wouldn't have been out there at that time of year. It would have been too cold. They would have been down in the valleys and in more protected areas, and so they wouldn't have been there. But the Catholic Church, in its infinite wisdom, had set the celebration of the birth of Christ on December 25th, actually come in competition with and to hopefully overcome the celebration of Saturnalia and some other pagan celebrations that took place at that time. And the reason they did that was because the Catholic Church, when it began to gain strength, the Catholic Church, of course, really did not come into being until about the 4th century. And as one of the things that they did is they welcomed in large numbers of unsaved people. And in fact, when Rome embraced it, they wanted to Christianize things. And a lot of the people that came in, they did not have, or they didn't, they missed some of these pagan celebrations. And so the Catholic Church oftentimes would set celebrations and Christianize celebrations and set them to offset the pagan celebrations, in other words, to give them something to do at the time everybody else was doing something else. And so as a result, they set Christmas at that time. There's some other things into it as well. If you get a copy of the book, The Two Faces of Babylon by Alexander Hislop, you'll see some of that laid out in great detail. But what I wanted to get to with that is that that's where we got the December 25th date, and I even know some people who are reluctant to celebrate Christmas today because of those connotations and the pagan origins of the December 25th date. But the way we look at it at our church, Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor and my family, we look at it that we know that Jesus was born and he came into the world and he was laid in the manger, as the Bible says. We don't know exactly what day that was. I think it probably was in the autumn. I've heard people make a good case that it was in the spring. But regardless, it wasn't December 25th, and we know that. But still, I do think it's good to set aside a time when we can focus on the birth of Christ, because that birth meant a lot. And it's in the Bible. The early church might not have celebrated and made much mention of the birth of Christ. That's true. But it is in the Bible. And so I just want to share a couple thoughts about Christmas there. But it's because of the religious connotation today, getting back to what I started with, this is why a lot of the atheists and various secular groups are so upset with Christmas, and they want it to be, Christmas trees be called holiday trees, and Christmas break is done away with. It's now winter break, and they want to turn it into a purely secular holiday. And every time I see a holiday tree, I always want to know, just what holiday are they celebrating? What part has that tree got to do with, Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Ramadan or something like that? Of course, Christians that know some of the history of the Christmas tree, though, might say, well, what's it got to do with Christmas or with Christ? But that's another area as well. And we're probably going to explore this some more on our Sunday evening program, perhaps this week and certainly the following week, probably about the 20th. What is that, the 23rd, I think, Sunday the 23rd. We'll spend more time on that, actually spent more time on that than I wanted to here today. Want to move from Christmas. Of course, if you've got questions about that and got that by way of introduction, that you can give us a call Sunday night or next week, and we can talk some more about that. But where I really wanted to get to today is an interesting thing, a phenomena that we seem to be seeing, and it's not unique and it's not new. You know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. And it's this concept of greed. And greed is a very powerful motivation. And I read a really interesting illustration of asking, it was kind of illustrating how the United States government was set up, because the people who set up our government understood the sin nature of man. And that's one of the reasons the United States government was so successful under the Constitution. They understood that man is innately sinful and innately greedy. And so they divided the powers, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive up, and that's why we have the president and then the courts and then the legislature. And the illustration that they used to explain this, they had a great illustration. What if you had two young boys and you had a chocolate pie and you asked them to divide the pie evenly? If you give the knife to just one, he's obviously going to try and cut himself a bigger piece, and so there'd be a lot of arguments. And the solution that they said was, well, you have one guy divide the pie. One boy divides the pie into three pieces. Then the second boy decides, who is going to take the pieces of pie out of the pan. And then the third boy decides who's going to get each piece of pie. And what you've done is you've used greed against each other competing, because the one boy knows that if he carves a bigger piece, somebody else is going to take it. So he's going to do the best he can to carve them as much the same as possible. And then the person that takes the pie out and puts it on the plate, yeah, he knows that if he scoops out a little bit more from another piece of pie as he's scooping it out onto the plate, that the person who gets to distribute the pies, he's going to take that bigger piece. And so he's going to be as sure as he can to get the pies out as evenly as possible, with nobody getting too much or too little on the plate. And then, of course, the third boy who hands out the plates, he's basically was a check on the other two, and he's handing out the plates, and he's certainly going to eyeball each one as carefully as he can, trying to get the biggest piece. So all of them competing, the greed works against each other and keeps them in check. And the problem is we have in government today is greed that's out of check. And, there's a lot of things about greed. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 19 says, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Proverbs 15 and verse 27 says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, that he that hateth gifts shall live. And Proverbs 21, verse 26 says, he coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteousness giveth and spareth not. And then there's other passages too. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 11, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain, from his quarter. And this is the problem. When greed is unchecked, it destroys. It hurts, it harms, and it destroys. And we have the right, to earn an income. And, of course, the United States of America, under our Constitution, we have freedom, we have liberty that's given to us and guaranteed to us. But, they recognize that these rights come from God. And let me give you an example in Matthew chapter 20. And verse number 1, it says, for the kingdom of God is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. and when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now, the penny a day represented about a day's wages in that day. And the third hour, he goes out, he finds somebody still waiting for work. He agrees with them, and he tells them whatever's right, he'll give them. He goes out the sixth hour, he goes out the ninth hour, and there's still people looking for work. He goes out the 11th hour of the day, and he finds some people standing idle. And let's say that this is about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And you have to remember, in this time, they didn't have clocks like we have. And 6 in the morning was always when the sun rose. The sun rose was 6 in the morning. At noon was always when the sun was at its highest. And 6 in the evening was always at sunset. And that's the way they divided the day. So only about an hour before the sun goes down, he finds others standing idle. And verse 6, and he saith unto them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" And he say unto him, "Because no man hath hired us." He saith unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." So when even was come, so this is when the sun starts setting, the lord of the vineyard sent unto his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first." And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, but they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give thee, or give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good?" So the last shall be first, and the first last, and many shall be called, a few chosen. And he goes on, Jesus goes on to teach some other things. But the point here is, the owner of the vineyard, it was his property, it was his vineyard, it was his money. He had work that needed to be done. He agreed with people that he would give them a fair day's wages for fair day's work. And the people agreed to that. No compulsion here. And they worked. And he found other people. And out of the goodness of his heart, he chose to give them a fair day's wages, even though they only labored about an hour. And same with people only labored half a day, because he understood something. He understood that they had families to take care of and to get food for and things like that. And they had no work, and he had the money to be able to help them. So he gave them a little work. They only worked an hour rather than all day. And yet he gave them a day's wages. It was his money, and he chose to do that. Well, the problem is, we have people today in government and elsewhere who don't think that people should be allowed to choose what to do with their own money. And when people have money that they can choose to do with, you'll find them doing good deeds with their money, much like this guy did, especially if the people have a godly attitude, a godly heart, and as opposed to being greedy of gain. And miserly, and trying to get all you can all you get. And this guy here wanted to help his fellow man, but he helped them not by giving his money to the government so that the government could dispense it so that they could sit around idle. He went and he found people that wanted to work. He gave them work. And then when they worked and they gave their labor, he gave them money. Now, this is contrary, certainly, to the communist philosophy, and socialism is basically communism light. And communist philosophy is from each according to his means to each according to his needs. In other words, you just take it away from those that have it and give it to those that you think need it. And you don't get to make the choice with your own money. Somebody else does, and that somebody else is the state, because Karl Marx was a godless atheist, and he looked for a system that would not need God. And communism is inherently an atheistic system. Now, let me ask you, we have all this stuff about taxes in the news today, and the fiscal cliff and raising taxes on the rich and all of this. And let me give you an example. The rich is anybody that makes a dollar more than you do. But here's the question. what level of taxation do we go beyond, you know, contributing our fair share to help with the common good to people who have taken control of the government just simply becoming greedy of gain, and they get the money and they distribute it to who they want to. Just like all the riots up in Michigan when they passed the right to work, where basically they were saying it's your freedom of choice whether or not you want to join a union. And union thugs went up and started fights and collapsed tents on people and stuff like that. And somebody tried to defend the union position by saying, well, if they didn't have the tent there, we wouldn't have collapsed it. And stuff like that. But let me ask you, what point do you think is sufficient? You know, I'll give you a hint, and I'll move through this kind of quickly here. The government right now is spending, the federal government, we're not talking about the state governments and local governments, the federal government is spending over $10 billion a day right now. If you confiscated 100% of the income, I'm talking about 100% tax of everybody that makes over $1 million a year, you would only fund the federal government for 72 days. If you lowered that down, say, well, that's not enough. We can't fund the government very long that way. If we lower that down to everybody who makes over $200,000 a year, and remember, we're being told that we need to make the people who make over $250,000 a year pay their fair share to bail out the federal government. The federal government's greedy. If we confiscated 100% of the income of those that make $200,000 or more a year, you'd only fund the federal government for 6 months. If you lowered that down and you confiscated every penny that somebody made of $100,000 or more, let's see. That would fund the federal government for less than a year. In fact, the estimated 2012 spending comes in at about $3.796 trillion, and that's $30 billion more than you would get if you confiscated 100% of the annual income of all Americans that make $100,000 or more, based on figures from last year or something like that. But that basically indicates that if the people who make $100,000 a year more, 17,446,537 million dollars is what you would take in. Less than $17.5 billion, that is not enough. It's not enough. You need $30 billion more to be able to fund the federal government. So what are they going to do? Confiscate 100% of your income or tell people, oh, you got to pay 110% of your income? It's greed. And we need to understand God gives us resources to work within. And we need to learn to live within our means. You have to do that as a family. And our government ought to be able to do that. Certainly the government doesn't need to be spending what it's spending right now. It's simply greed. And go do a word study in the Bible. Look up what the Bible has to say about greed or has to say about avarice. It causes problems. And certainly it's caused a lot of trouble for our country. Remember Proverbs 15:27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. A lot of people who are in government today that just want money. A lot of people who are in various things today, they're greedy. But if God's given you the means to make money and to earn money, and some people just have that ability, but you know what? You also have a responsibility to be generous and to give as God directs you. You shouldn't have to wait for the government to go out and demand it. And really, I kind of think that part of the reason we're in the trouble we're in today is because God's people, when they've had money, have become greedy themselves, and they've not been willing to use the money the way God intended it. Do you know that Americans spend more on dog food each year than they do on supporting missions, getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world? You know, I think we kind of deserve the leadership that we have sometimes because we've become, as Americans, greedy of gain, greedy of money, And we need to be able to repent of that and allow God to direct us, where are we going to send our money? And help your local church out. Help missionaries out. Help spread the word of God. And then, you know what? You're going to have money left over that, like the guy that we read about in Matthew chapter 20, you're going to be able to help people out. You'll be able to help out neighbors and family and friends. But you know, there's another part there too. You got to be willing to work. And the Bible says that he who will not work should not eat. Not he who cannot work, but he who will not. And some people who just don't want to. Well, we're out of time here today. Hope you'll join us again next week for another edition as we welcome in the Mayan apocalypse as well. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The following program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications. You-